Can I beatbox inside and up?
Yeah. Crespo needs soap. It's the cinema of the Crespo needs soap. It's the cinema. I'm Chris Crespo. What? And we're out. Okay. Welcome to Cinema Crespo Disso. Yes, another episode is here. This is episode 9, if you can believe it.
Almost in the double digits.
That is just ridiculous. Nine episodes of Cinema Crespo Disso. Welcome. I am Christopher Crespo, your host. You can call me Chris. You can call me Cress. You can call me Crespo Damas.
Triple five.
That has a whole story behind it. You can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for the trailers, because I love seeing the trailers. With me, as always, is my co-producer, co-host, co-dude, number two man, second on the mic, on the blue mic, keeping it real, keeping it down, locking it down in the SRQ.
SRQ, bitches.
SRQ to the ORL from the MCO. He's a VIP. He's Drewster Cogburn. What's up, Drew?
What's up, dude? How's it going?
Chilling.
That was a lot of abbreviations.
Yeah. Hey, there's more out there.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
We can.
No, we shouldn't. Okay, no.
Never mind. So everything's going all right?
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of news on my part.
What do you got?
Changing employment.
Oh yeah, no longer with the.
No longer with one restaurant, on to another.
Moving from restaurant to restaurant.
Nobody's paying me any money to tell them who or what. No, there are no free meals being sent my way, so
that's true.
I'm not going to endorse anything.
No endorsements, just a life changing event for you.
Oh yeah, 100%, and it's for the best.
Do you feel happy about it?
Yes, I'm 100% happy.
You feel energized?
I am energized. I am excited as hell.
That's good.
It's awesome.
Changes in life sometimes can be scary. Sometimes they can be fun, and
this can be a little bit of both.
Good. Oh, those are the best. Those are the best kind, when they're just a little scary on top of everything. Well, good job, dude. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I'm
glad to hear it. Hey, well, I'll be looking for some free meals at this new restaurant myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
It's going to take me a little while, but yeah.
So next week. All right. Sounds good. Next week. I'll bring some people with me. We'll get some...
The peeps.
I'll bring some peeps. With some peeps. Easter is right around the corner. We can get peeps now.
I hate those things. They're so disgusting.
And I'll specifically request that they be incorporated into a dish somehow. Like
F you.
Iron Chef style.
F you.
So with that, let's run down the show. What we got on deck, as always. We're going to do the box office review for the weekend. Going to review some movies. And then we'll see what's new, right, on DVD and in theaters. Then we'll go into the Crespo Disco, where we'll listen to some music before we go into the Crespo Dome and close the show out. But to start with, the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here we go. Got the randomizer.
The Cinema Crespo Disco
Randomizer 9000. Drew, if you will, sir, please pick this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. And I will verify.
Donnie Darko. Is it available on the instant?
Very, very popular film, I gotta say. Donnie Darko. Hey, how's it going?
All right, Donnie Darko it is.
All right, Donnie Darko.
Great movie.
Great movie.
I'm not gonna lie. I mean, the director's cut is it makes everything make a little bit more sense, I guess. But that's what I liked about Donnie Darko so much. It was the first movie where I was like, what?
So weird.
And to this day, I mean, there are still things that are debatable in the movie.
Yeah.
There aren't necessarily concrete things happening.
It's got that super cool ambiguity.
Yeah. I dig.
I'm glad that you brought up the whole director's cut thing. This is definitely the original 2001 cut of Donnie Darko.
The one I prefer.
The one where, you know, they just... Richard Kelly ran out of money. You know, it's a low-budget movie. Ran out of money. Couldn't do all the things he wanted, so he put out what he had. And also came out, movie was scheduled to come out in theaters October 2011. If you remember, there's a part in the movie where an engine from a jet, from an airplane, breaks off the plane and crashes through a house.
Yes.
That's not flying. Bad pun. That's not happening. That's not happening in movie theaters a month after September 11th.
Yeah, seriously.
So Donnie Darko got scrapped from theatrical release and then just got dumped on DVD like a year later. And cult following, definition of a cult film.
Oh, definitely cult classic.
And then since it got such a following and so many people bought the DVD, someone gave Richard Kelly a little bit of money. Like, go ahead and make your director's cut and finish the things you wanted to finish. And then the things that you wanted to add in there were all things that make it worse.
I mean, it does make, like, I mean, there
it spells stuff out for you. Yeah. Literally, they put text on the screen and they spell stuff out.
Yes, exactly. And that is really annoying. The ambiguity was so much cooler.
Yeah. It makes me realize, well, at first it made me think that maybe Richard Kelly he didn't know what made his movie so cool.
Yeah.
And why people liked it so much.
Uh-huh.
And then his subsequent films, like The Box, Southland Tales.
Southland Tales, that was one of those movies.
That's one of those noble masterpiece of failures.
Yeah. Like, there's so much talent. And there are parts of the movie that are pretty good if you kind of take them as just, like, parts.
Yeah.
But when you bunch them all together, it is a masterful failure.
It reminds me of Frank Miller's The Spirit.
You know what? You know what?
Where it's such a singular vision.
I would put Southland Tales probably above The Spirit, because for some reason The Spirit was just so god awful.
They're both terrible. They're both instances of a filmmaker with no one to tell him no, no one to tell him different, or no one to surround himself with yes men. Yeah, that's cool. And then each filmmaker flying their plane of artistic ambition directly into the mountains of no. I was gonna say they crash land their plane of ambition into the mountains of artistic failure.
Yes,
and it's a glorious thing to behold in one way. In other ways, it's also sad. Tangent: Donnie Darko, original cut of Donnie Darko, which I guess Richard Kelly made by accident, a really cool cult movie.
Yeah.
Because apparently all his movies, subsequent film shows, he doesn't really know
what the hell he's doing.
So hey. Obviously, this is a really good movie. We both really enjoy it. It's very weird. I'm not even going to talk about what it's about, because when I saw it, I had no idea what it's about.
Well, no. It's just, it was one of those, hey, I think you should watch this movie.
Yeah, it was just...
And then we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, it was a title where people were just passing around. Hey, you got to check this movie out.
Well, I mean, with Frank in the bunny suit, man, I mean, how can you go wrong? It's just, it's right there. It's the creepiest... freaking thing.
That bunny suit is creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Very creepy. So, yep, there you go. Netflix instant pick of the week is Donnie Darko, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Who else? I can't remember who else is in that.
Seth
Rogen.
Is one of the bad guys.
He's a bully, high school bully kid.
Yes, he is.
Which is pretty funny.
Who's the girl?
Jenna Malone.
Yes.
Yes. Jenna Malone. Yeah, so maybe actually a pretty good cast. Pretty good cast. It's a good movie. It's a really good movie. It's very interesting. So check that out. All right, let's get into the box office results for the weekend. Drew, do you have the...
Wait, isn't Patrick Swayze in that freaking movie?
Patrick Swayze?
Swayze and Drew Barrymore?
Well, Drew Barrymore, her company produced it.
Yeah.
So she has a little cameo. And Patrick Swayze, yes, that's
Patrick
an awesome...
He's totally in that movie.
He's an awesome small role.
And who's the lady, the bitch in the movie? I've seen her in other things.
Yeah, I can't think of her name.
I don't know her name, but I know her face.
Can't think of her name, but yeah, she's one of those familiar. She's one of those people. Oh, it's her. It's
yeah, exactly.
Great cast. Low budget movie. Good stuff. Seal of approval from both of us. That's Netflix instant pick of the week, Donnie Darko. All right, Drew, you got the box office?
Yes, sir, I do. All right.
What are we starting with?
Oh, man. Top five this week. Starting off, number five, Snitch. It had a weekend gross of $5.1 million for a total gross of $31.9 million.
Not bad. Not bad for Snitch. Not bad for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm telling you, this is the year.
Of Dwayne Rock Johnson.
Of Dwayne Johnson.
I don't know. Every time I saw the previews for this movie, I was just...
The movie itself, it's not awful, but it's not really that good either. It's like a made-for-TV movie. If you see it on the Redbox or something, like, oh, okay, well, that wasn't a horrible way to spend an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay.
It's The Rock. It's his first of four movies that come out over the span of four months, because after he had that, and then G.I. Joe, he's got the Fast and Furious 6, and the Pain and Gain with Mark Wahlberg. So it's rock crazy this year, which is
good for him.
I really like him. So
he's a very charismatic dude.
He is a very charismatic dude. Snitch itself, it's okay. It's like, you know, Redbox it. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, word.
All right, what else we got?
All right, number four this week, Dead Man Down, with a weekend gross of $5.4 million.
Dead Man Down wins the weekend award for worst title of a movie.
Oh, yeah. What was the budget on that? Do you know?
I do not.
I got nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't readily available. Seeing the movie, I would put the budget around... I'd be surprised if it was more than... 50 million. They do shoot it in New York City. Did shoot it in New York City. So that right there is expensive.
Yeah, definitely.
Decent amount of action. At least one very big explosion.
Nice.
So
I like explosions.
Yeah, maybe I put a budget around 50-60 million and $5.3 million opening weekend.
It is terrible.
Not good. Not too good. But Noomi Rapace, who was the original girl with the dragon tattoo in the Swedish movie.
Yeah, nobody cares about the original anymore.
Well, no, Europeans still do, and Swedes still do. She's an international movie star.
I'm talking about here in America.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is all those international dollars, that's going to keep Dead Man Down from being a failure.
I hope a
big money loser.
I hope that title translates better in other languages.
Yeah, right? It's gonna sound even weirder. They'll probably just change it completely. You know,
they always do.
You know what the title for Die Hard is in Russia?
What?
A Hard Nut to Crack.
Yes, it is a very hard... He is a hard nut to crack.
And the sequels are Hard Nut to Crack 2, Hard Nut to Crack Part 3. So weird. Colin Farrell, he's also a bit of an international movie star. His movies tend to make more money internationally than they do here anyway.
Well, that's because we here in America realize that he's not the greatest actor.
I like him. I'm a Colin Farrell. I know a lot of people don't like him that much.
I've only liked him in one thing that I've seen.
In Bruges?
Yes.
In Bruges,
the only thing I've ever liked him in.
Oh, what about Horrible Bosses?
Not really.
How about... you didn't see The Seven Psychopaths? The same guy.
No, yeah, I know, but I heard it was not that good.
It's okay. What else would you possibly like Colin Farrell
in? I mean, he wasn't that great in that terrible remake. What the hell was it that we just saw?
Total Recall.
Yes.
I almost said Fright Night, but we didn't see Fright Night.
No, I didn't.
Total Recall.
But he couldn't have been that much better in Fright Night.
I actually read that he's quite good in Fright Night because he's just playing a sleazy douchebag vampire.
Which, hey, that sounds a lot like Colin Farrell.
But, I mean, he plays a sleazy douchebag boss in Horrible Bosses, you know?
Yeah, but I didn't like him in that movie for some reason.
So, there you go. He might just not be a fan, for the most part, a Colin Farrell fan. Well, in this movie, I thought he was okay. Actually, Dead Man Down, if it has anything going for it, great cast. I think good cast because I like Colin Farrell. Noomi Rapace, I think that's how you say her name, the Swedish, Spanish, Romanian chick.
Yeah.
But Terrence Howard is one of the main bad guys. Yeah, he's pretty much the main bad guy. I think it's F. Murray Abraham. I think that's him.
It's an awesome name.
I didn't bother looking it up.
F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah, F. Murray Abraham. Who else? It's actually kind of has a cast that it's sort of waste to cast as because it's not. The movie itself is no big deal. There's some action. It tries to be like a gritty kind of emotional crime drama. I'm trying to think of some reference points for it, you know. Yeah, it's a revenge story, like multiple revenges, and like information is given to you slowly, so you're not sure what's going on at first. That's what they want anyway. You know what's going on right away. It's all very, very predictable. Dominic Cooper, he's Devil's Double. Did you ever see that one?
Nope, missed it.
That's a crazy one.
Yeah.
Tony Stark's dad, Howard Stark.
Yes.
That guy.
Okay.
He's in it. He's quite good. Isabelle Huppert. She's a French actress. See, which is surprising, because she doesn't do very many, like, Hollywood American movies, so for her to do this is like, whoa, maybe this is pretty decent. She's the I Heart Huckabees, the French lady who's all about nothingness.
Oh, yeah.
Isabelle Huppert. She's quite good. And she's okay in the movie, too. She's not bad, but, I don't know, the movie itself is like, yeah, it is F. Murray Abraham. I just wanted to double check that. F. Murray Abraham's awesome. He's an old school classic actor.
I just love his name.
If you saw his face, you'd be like, oh, okay, that guy. That guy, I know that guy, you know. He's been around for so long. But it's still, it's like, man, you have all these great actors, and it feels a little wasted. I don't know. It could have been better. It could have been a better movie. I did go in with very, 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 very low expectations. I thought it was going to be pretty bad. So the fact that it wasn't awful, you know.
Above your expectations.
Yeah. It beat my expectations. I'd say it's like a Redbox. Redbox it. It's worth a dollar and change, maybe.
Okay.
For some cool parts, for some interesting bits here and there.
I heard that worth a dollar and change.
But overall, nah.
Not so much.
Yeah, no. Sorry, Colin Farrell. Yeah.
All right, well, Colin, on to number three this week. We have Identity Thief, which had a weekend gross of $6.3 million for a total gross of $116.5 million.
Yeah.
On a budget of $35 million.
That's pretty good.
That made money hand over fist, bro.
That's pretty good. Expect Identity Thief 2. Somehow. They'll find a way. Anytime a movie makes money unexpectedly in Hollywood,
they always crank out a sequel.
They're working on a Magic Mike too, because that made so much money, you know.
Is Soderbergh doing it?
Oh, absolutely not. No, he's on his sabbatical now, where he's not doing anything theatrical anymore. Maybe Channing Tatum will direct it himself. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he feels like branching out. Maybe feels like he learned something from the Soderbergh. Identity Thief, $116 million. Not bad at all. The first $100 million film of the year in America. So that has that honor of kicking off the year's $100 million films.
Good job.
And the movie is, yeah, that's whatever. I feel that's like a catch on HBO type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Redbox. All right, go ahead.
All right, well, number two this week, Jack the Giant Slayer, which had a weekend gross of $10 million for a total gross of $43.8 million on a budget of $195 million.
Let me reiterate, that's what I think about Jack the Giant Slayer.
Oh, it's probably not going to make its money back, at least not domestically.
Oh, no, considering how much it costs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it'll do okay internationally, but probably not enough to make it profitable. It'll break even. It's not a very good movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't deserve to make that much money.
Yep.
So I don't like it. I say stay away from it. Maybe if you see it on HBO, you know, then you might consider wasting your time in that manner, but that's not even like a Redbox movie for me, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I see it anyway.
Awesome. All right. And number one this week, Oz the Great and Powerful, which had a weekend gross of $80.3 million on a budget of $215 million.
That's expensive.
Yes, it is. Well, special effects are not cheap.
And this movie is like
all special effects.
It's ridiculous. Like Wizard of Oz, it starts out in 10-minute black and white section, like shot in full frame, like 4:3 aspect ratio, and then when he goes to Oz, it becomes widescreen and color, and also very CG. Then there's like a 5-minute sequence of him just floating through Oz and looking at different plants and stuff, and it's actually kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another movie where I went in with very low expectations, because despite liking all the people involved, and you know I like Wizard of Oz, this looked like a soulless cash grab, like here's a product from Disney type of movie.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, when I went and saw it, wasn't bad.
Meh.
It really wasn't bad. It wasn't that good. You know, I wouldn't say go see it.
Yeah.
It's an IMAX 3D. Don't spend that extra dough.
No way.
No, don't do that. you know, if you see it on the red box, you'd be like, whoa, that was good. That was worth a buck, $1.20. But I don't know. It's okay. It's also kind of weird how they try to make the movie as an homage to Wizard of Oz, but
but technically they can't.
They can't use a lot of the same imagery. I read that because they show in all the posters that there's, you know, the Wicked Witches in the movie and the Green Witch, right? I read that they even had to use a different shade of green.
Of course.
That's how down to the, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom. But, you know, it wasn't bad. The story is cute. It's kind of clever. It takes too long to get to where it wants to get to.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's at least 20 minutes of redundancy of James Franco's character being like, oh, I'm a con man. I'm a cheat. I don't deserve, you know, I'm not a wizard. But then, like, he turns around and is like, oh, but I'll cheat these people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. The whole movie is about Oz learning not to be such an asshole.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Good for Oz.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Franco is cool. It's his first movie as the lead.
Yeah.
You know, which is interesting. He makes for a very interesting leading role, leading man. All the chicks are great. Mila Kunis, Rachel Weisz, Michelle Williams as Glinda the Good Witch. I mean, they're all good. And it has a couple of Sam Raimi touches where it felt like it is a PG movie. PG, so a lot of families in the theater. That's another thing. I saw a matinee of this film. Packed. Like, it was a Friday night. It was a lot of...
Well, because the families have to come out during the day.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was packed. And some parts were definitely a little too intense for some of the really younger kids, the 2 and 3-year-olds, you know, which is, hey, I always like to see that in the movie.
Yeah, I always like to get little kids freaked out.
I like seeing little kids freaked out in the movie. Like, that's what you get. Nightmares for the weekend.
Awesome.
You little bastards. So, you know, but, hey, yeah. Red box.
Red box it is.
It's a red box. If this and Dead Man Down came out on the same weekend on Redbox, I would see Oz.
Okay.
For sure.
Gotcha.
For sure. But, yeah, all right, well, there you go. That's my... I have a full review up of Oz, The Great and the Powerful, at chriscrespo.com.
Chriscrespo.com.
So go ahead. You can read all that up there, and I'll have a Dead Man Down review up there soon.
Chriscrespo.com.
And Netflix pick of the week will be there as well.
ChrisCrespo.com.
We got new movies on DVD this weekend in theaters. I will start with what's on DVD. Animated film, Rise of the Guardians. This is the one with...
all the I guess the closest thing we have to, like, mythological beings.
Santa Claus. And
yeah, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Jack Frost.
And the Sandman.
Oh, it's the Sandman as well?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the four of them doing something around Easter.
Defending the world.
Even though the movie came out around Christmas.
Sweet.
Actually, I think it got some decent reviews. It's a very different film from what I've read in terms of aesthetics and the storytelling. It's just a kind of a weird family animated movie, so it might be worth.
If it comes out on the red box or if it's maybe already out, I'll check it out.
Well, Tuesday. We'll find out.
Tuesday.
One of the big winners at the past Academy Awards that just happened, Life of Pi.
Oh, very nice. I have not seen it.
So everyone's chance now. I highly recommend this film to everyone. I think it's great.
We need to fix our TV first.
Don't worry about that. The effects. What did it win for? What did it win? Best visual effects.
Yes.
Best cinematography.
Best director.
Best director. Best score. And... Ooh, it won one more, and I can't remember. Some of the actor awards might have been some. It's just like sound mixing or something random like that. But it's definitely worth checking out. I'm looking forward to rewatching it. Actually, good stuff. Sound City, documentary Sound City, about that legendary studio where all the bands performed at.
Oh, yeah, with Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl, like, I guess he produced it, maybe directed it. Voiceover.
Narrates.
So that comes out. Hitchcock, a movie about the making of Psycho, like a dramatization of it, with Anthony Hopkins as Hitchcock and Helen Mirren as his wife. Kumare is a documentary that I saw at the Florida Film Festival last year, about a dude who, like an Indian guy who grows all his hair long, and then he shows up in some little small town in Arizona somewhere and pretends to be like a shaman and starts his own crazy yoga class and pretty much starts his own cult to see what would happen. Like an experiment, like a social experiment. It's a very interesting, very, very interesting
film.
Wow. Kumare, Kumare. I recommend people checking out that one. And then, you know, studios are doing this now, Drew. They release the movie digitally.
Okay.
2 weeks before DVD.
Well, it's to get the American public used to this whole streaming thing that they're planning.
Trying to get people to jump on that stuff.
Well, it's because that's the end game.
And it's cheaper. It's cheaper for them.
Exactly.
Cheaper delivery system.
That's the end game.
So this week, available digital download, I guess in the iTunes store, Amazon, Instant, all that stuff. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. And it's going to be the normal theatrical cut, because that's what they do with all these movies. First, they put out theatrical cut with nothing added, and then they'll put out the 8-hour DVD.
I don't think I want to sit through 8 hours of The Hobbit. I mean, that was 3 hours was long enough.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking long. But that's coming out on Tuesday, streaming wise. So you have a chance for 2 weeks to see that streaming before it comes out on the DVD.
Interesting.
So what's coming out? Looks like we got two movies in theaters this week, right, Drew?
Yes, sir.
The you got them there. Let's see what you.
Oh, yeah. We got Have the Call, starring Halle Berry.
Oof.
What an awful movie that looks like, that by looks, the way.
And the trailer pretty much shows almost
the
whole
entire movie. Yes.
If it's a 95-minute movie, it looks like it shows either the first 85 minutes.
It's already done.
It's already done. Yeah, it's like...
No, like the movie, it's already done.
And I like how Halle Berry is like, it's the same guy. And she points and she's turns her... I don't know. She's kind of sassy about it.
It looks like a terrible movie.
It looks pretty awful. WWE Studios production.
Oh, even worse.
What else is coming out?
Also coming out this week, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. Stone, starring Steve Carell, Luke Vanek, Jim Carrey, and Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, and Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, I don't know why he's not on the list.
Luke who?
Luke Vanek.
Why does that guy get listed ahead of Steve Buscemi?
And Jim Carrey.
Well, Jim Carrey's awesome. Yeah, well, yeah, why are you getting listed in front of Jim Carrey?
The hell if I know.
That guy probably updated the IMDb page.
Ooh.
Luke Vanek. Screw that guy. I want to see this pretty much just for Jim Carrey.
Yeah, definitely.
That whole Chris Angel thing.
Yeah, I have. It's been so long since I've seen Jim Carrey in a good movie.
Yeah, right? What the heck, Jim? This doesn't look like he's going to break that trend either.
It looks pretty terrible.
This movie does not look good. And movies with titles like The Incredible...
The Incredible This or The Preposterous That.
Like the... what's that one with John Malkovich? The Great Something Howard or... That one did terrible. The Imaginarium.
Of Dr. Parnassus.
That one did horrible. Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Not so hot.
Odd Life of Timothy Green. The Life of David Gale. I mean, just don't name your title. Don't do that. That's bad. I guess you can get away with it if it's just the name.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Michael Clayton.
Great movie.
Or John Forrest Carter. Gump. Forrest Gump. Right. Right. But if it's something, if it's like the incredible Forrest Gump, like pshaw.
Yeah.
Don't tell me this guy's incredible.
Exactly.
He doesn't seem that incredible. Let me make up my own mind.
If he's incredible or not.
So the incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Yes.
Magicians. This is just...
It's going to be no Batman versus Wolverine is dueling magicians. I tell you what.
I tell you what. I'm telling you, March has just been terrible for movies.
It's going to be a bad month. It's okay. These things happen.
These things do happen. All right. Well, let's... we got to take a break. I'm pretty much showing my beer here. Hold on. Yeah, that's some good beer I'm drinking. Cigar City Hi-Li here, which is always delicious.
Oh, yeah. It's really hoppy.
Very hoppy.
I'm not so big on the hops.
Also, I think 7%.
Nice and boozy.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. So while I refill this and we take a quick break, we're going to jump into the Crespo Disco. Oh, yeah. It's here. Crespo. This week's song is from a movie from the 80s. I'll tell you that much right now. Mid-80s. I'll give you a time frame. Between 84 and 88. Mid-80s. Somewhere in that time period, this movie came out. Enjoy the song. It's quite good. When we come back, let you know what it is. Then we'll go into the Crespo Dome. And then we'll wrap this thing up. How's that sound, Drew?
Sounds pretty good, but can we leave it unwrapped?
You want to leave it unwrapped?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not feeling the whole wrap-up thing today.
I don't know, man. Usually you wrap things up at the end. You got to put a nice bow on it. And then put the return address on the back. And then address it, stamp it.
I mean, fine, if you say so.
Mail it out for the people. We can't give it to him.
Unwrapped?
No. That's not good.
Dude, wrapping paper is expensive, and so are bows. So is delivery.
Always running into money. Well, we'll talk about this over the break, and
we'll settle this in the Crespo Dome.
We'll settle this. So enjoy this song. We'll be right back.
Mother, let me heal you. Your
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Cinema Crespediso. It's very much appreciated. This is Christopher Crespo. Just want to take a moment out of the show to thank you and to recommend that you check out chriscrespo.com. That's right, chriscrespo.com. That's my website. I have all a bunch of stuff up there you can check out. I got my movie reviews, stuff like Oz the Great and the Powerful. And I'm going to have a review of Dead Man Down up there. New movies like that. And older films, too. You can check out my Netflix Instant Pick of the Weeks. I have them going all the way back to the beginning of 2012. So that's a lot of choices right there. You ever sit in front of your Netflix and just look at movies over and over on all the titles and you can't decide what to pick? Well, I'll make it easier for you. These are my personal recommendations. I think you'll like all these movies. That's all at chriscrespo.com. Thanks again for checking out the show. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell your enemies. Tell everyone. Because why discriminate? We're trying to spread the love, right? And then also on the iTunes, if you're downloading via iTunes, thank you. If you subscribe, that's awesome. Please rate us 5 stars. Review the show. If you can leave a nice review, that'd be great. Apparently, that is some sort of a big deal. If you can get pretty high up in the podcasting world and the iTunes market. So if you could help us with that, that'd be great. Thanks again for listening. And here we go with the rest of the show, the second half of Cinema Crespediso. Welcome back to Cinema Crespediso. That was the Crespo Disco. Good times, very, very 80s, obviously, wasn't it, Drew?
Yes, it was. It was very 80s. It was so 80s. It almost made me wish that I remembered the 80s, but that was 0 through 7.
Yeah.
Not a lot of memories there.
Those are the early years. The upsetter years is what we would call them.
Mm-hmm.
So that song, if you don't know, if you're not sure, it might sound kind of familiar to you. Depends on how much of a Michael Mann fan you are. Or maybe if you're a big, big Hannibal Lecter fan. Manhunter from 1986.
Great movie.
The first Hannibal Lecter film. People, kind of forget about it because Anthony Hopkins is so awesome in Silence of the Lambs. And he did every other Hannibal movie after that, except for that one prequel that no one cared about.
Red Dragon.
Red Dragon was Brett Ratner's Red Dragon with Ed Norton and Ralph Fiennes. That's a remake of Manhunter. Manhunter originally, the original title was Red Dragon because that's the title of the book. But at the time, the distributor was like, screw that title. It sucks. We're going to call it Manhunter.
Awesome title.
Yeah, it's an alright title. It's not bad. The people behind the movie didn't like it too much, but they didn't have much say. And now it's stuck. So it's Michael Mann's Manhunter. That song's from that. It's called the name of the song is Strong as I Am, in case you weren't sure. They only said it about 1,000 times. And it's by a group called the Prime Movers, who no one's ever heard of.
Ever.
So if you knew that was the Prime Movers, if you knew that off the top of your head.
Good for you.
Good for you. Tweet me. Let me know that was, and I'll believe you. And maybe I'll give you something. Kudos. Props, maybe. Are props still valuable these days?
I think the value of props is depreciating drastically.
Props was pretty big in the 90s.
It was. It's not. Dude, it's the year 2013. Come on, bro.
Man. Feeling old. Feeling old when props aren't very valuable anymore. Well, all right. Before we move on into the final segment of the show, the most popular segment of the show, a little bit of quick housekeeping. Thank you for the housekeeping theme song.
Housekeeping.
Thank you very much, Drew. The baseball Crespediso, the fantasy league. Last week I said I was a little worried about whether I'd be able to get enough people. Because now the draft is about 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away. The season's going to start soon. Now the situation's kind of flipped, Drew. There's only 3 spots available.
Wow.
Yeah, you got all 9.
Filled up quick.
Filled up pretty quickly. You got 9 spots taken. 7 actually signed in. 2 more committed. Guys, come on. Sign in, guys. What are you waiting for? And so that leaves only 3 spots for his 12-team league. So if you went in on the fantasy
now
first
is the
ever,
time.
Now is the time. All of a sudden, before, you know, a week ago. Like these I things said, were like willy nilly, just giving them away.
Like I said, like you had like nobody.
I only had a few people, a handful of people. Now I only got a handful of spots.
Oh man,
hot commodity.
How fast things change.
How fast things do change. Yeah. So the week, I mean, the season starts soon. A few weeks when we get it started. So hit us up at Twitter at Crespodiso, Facebook. Facebook.com/CinemaCrespodiso. You can leave a message for us there, right? You can do that on Facebook, right? Instagram.com/CinemaCrespodiso. If you want to leave us a like a picture message. How does that work? I don't know. It doesn't work that way.
All they can do is view what we post and...
Or tag us in one of their posts.
Yeah, yeah. And they can also like comment and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. So we're on Instagram. What else? Social media? What's your Twitter, Drew?
I don't care about Twitter.
At antihero419. He doesn't care about Twitter. Maybe you should start. Maybe you should start.
I don't care. I just don't care. It's not... I don't care.
All right. Well, since you don't care. Well, I do care. We all care, Drew.
Whatever. If you want to leave a message for me, you can get at me at the Cinema Crespodiso sites. I'm sure you'll tell me. Someone has a message for me.
We'll there's a way to get hold of you. CinemaCrespodiso@gmail.com for email. Go to ChrisCrespo.com for so much stuff and more. Here we go. We're going to go into the Crespo Dome. Are you ready, Drew?
Oh, yeah. Let's do this.
All right. Well, as we step into the Crespo Dome, I just read this. Just read this just now. Found this very interesting. I'm going to start out with this. According to Vulture, a new Simpsons movie is not happening anytime soon.
Okay.
Which is kind of disappointing.
It's disappointing. I agree. I thought the Simpsons movie was really good.
I really enjoyed it.
But it was just like a 90-minute episode, that's all.
Yeah, well...
I mean, there was really no need to put it in theaters, except to make the extra bucks.
Well, yeah, it made $500 million worldwide.
Like I said.
It's pretty good. Pretty good for The Simpsons. But they said recently at an annual entertainment symposium in UCLA, Matt Groening said it took us 4 years to make the movie and it killed us. David Silverman, producer and director, said they might be able to do another film in maybe another 10 or 15 years. So... don't expect the Simpsons sequel anytime soon. I liked the movie, though. I thought it was
great.
I thought it was really good. I pop it on DVD every now and then. Check it out. You know what I thought I also wanted to bring up?
What's up?
When I saw Oz, The Great and Powerful, first yes. new, big, really big movie of the year, successful movie, there were a lot of trailers.
Okay.
New trailers.
Sure.
That was pretty cool. The new Iron Man trailer.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that one... I guess it kind of focuses on the story a little bit more. It's very. This is a much more personal Iron Man movie than the other Iron Man.
Was there a lot of Ben?
They show more Ben Kingsley.
I like Ben.
They show more of him and his weird accent. And it's more about like how it definitely seems like it's Tony Stark dealing with the aftermath of Avengers, and it's a very personal film as opposed to like some big, like worldwide plot or whatever. Could just be misleading trailer, but. Trailers never mislead people, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, marketing's always honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Advertising.
Of course. Yeah. Always believe what they say.
What else? What else? New Batman. Ooh, I saw a trailer for a new Danny Boyle movie.
Okay.
Called Trance. And the trailer itself is very dubsteppy.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. It's like, wah, 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 yeah, wah, 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 yeah, wah, yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's weird. But it's got a really good cast. James McAvoy, Rosario Dawson, a couple other people. I was like, whoa, this is cool. Something about, like, James McAvoy, like, they put him under hypnosis, and, like, he's revealing things. And I don't know. It was a very dubsteppy trailer.
And there's dubstep.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of dubstep. But it was interesting. And it's a Danny Boyle movie.
I dig.
I love Danny Boyle. And I found it interesting that the trailer said from the director, because he's made plenty of movies.
Yeah, yeah. So, which one stands out?
Yeah, it could have said from the director of Slumdog Millionaire.
Which would have been good.
Yeah, but that's not the audience they're going for. It said from the director of Trainspotting and 28 Days Later and Ooh. Shallow Grave.
Oh, okay. So it's the darker side of Mr. Boyle.
Yeah, the crazier side.
I like that
the,
side.
The crazier Boyle.
It's fun.
So that looked really interesting. And what other? They're showing the Fast and Furious 6 trailer over and over.
Over and over and over.
That one, that was the same one. There was another trailer. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, you know, hey, looks like a... Looks like it's going to be an interesting summer.
Well, summer's always a good time for movies.
Oh, new Lone Ranger trailer.
That movie, I just don't know what to think about it.
You know,
it has so many things going for it, and then there are a lot of things against it.
You know, it is a big budget Western.
No, I know.
Which is, you know,
like Hollywood always loves that shit.
I love Westerns. But the big budget ones, the blockbuster Westerns, nah, not so good.
Has the potential to be Wild Wild West all over again.
It does. It does, but I don't know. I don't know, and I love Johnny Depp.
So do I.
I like Gore Verbinski. He's a good director. The Mexican, I think, is a very underrated movie.
I really enjoyed The Mexican.
I like the first Pirates of the Caribbean. Everyone likes the first Pirates.
The first one, of course.
Yeah, everyone likes that one. We'll see about that.
It could be good. It has potential.
But that was cool seeing all the new trailers in front of Oz. That was a lot of fun. We saw some movies this week.
Yes, we did.
Recently. Well, The Master, I think we saw last week. And we just forgot to talk about it. That was my second time seeing it. Your first time. What were your first impressions of The Master?
First impressions of The Master. I mean, after everything I heard about it, like, I thought it just kind of spelled things out. Like, if you didn't know that it was based on L. Ron Hubbard, like, they don't ever come out.
Oh, yeah, the whole Scientology
angle. Yeah. They don't ever come out and, like, say that. I mean, they kind of do, because they kind of talk about the beliefs of the church, or whatever the hell they call it.
It gets a little weird towards
you. Yeah. But if you know anything about it, like the actual history and what used to go on with them when it all started, then it draws some really stark parallels.
Yeah.
But other than, I mean, I'm not sure if either, which one of two things is possible, Chris.
Yeah.
Either Joaquin Phoenix is batshit crazy, or he just pulled off a Daniel Day-Lewis.
He's one of the greatest actors ever, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was an incredible performance. Incredible performance.
I don't know. I was under the impression that he was just crazy in the movie. Like, this is Joaquin Phoenix now.
Yeah.
We just kind of put a camera on him, and this is what happened.
Like what they do with Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it was really good performance.
Yeah, on second viewing, it's like you can't not look at the guy, you know, the way he walks around and his posture and his face. His face is always all scrunched up and everything.
Always.
And
just the weird shit he does. I mean, good
Lord. He's a crazy character. The second time around, it's even more evident how the movie's not really about the whole Scientology angle.
Yeah, not at all.
And it's about the relationship he has with Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, the leader of this group, the cause. I think it's a pretty brilliant movie.
It was really good. A lot of snubbage at the
Oscars.
It was kind of hard to watch.
It's dense. It's difficult. It's not easy. It's not what you would call accessible.
No, not at all.
Right, mainstream.
Definitely not.
But man. I love that.
It was good. Everyone gave stellar performances.
Absolutely. Amy Adams is great.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was awesome.
Paul Thomas Anderson. He knows how to make a movie, man.
He does.
He knows how to make a movie. We saw a documentary, Tabloid.
Yes, we did.
That was an Errol Morris film. I love Errol Morris
movies. Errol Morris makes good documentaries.
Like Fog of War, Standard Operating Procedure, Vernon, Florida, all great movies. Tabloid is a crazy story about a woman who, this was in the 70s, and she, like, allegedly kidnapped a Mormon guy from his Mormon retreat, locked him up in a cabin for 3 days, raped him for 3 days, and then he got out somehow. She went to prison, became this whole crazy international story. And
the tabloids in Britain apparently had crazy, like, two conflicting stories.
Yeah, they had conflicting stories.
That's the guy's tale.
Her official story. Her story is that he was a willing participant the whole time, and it was like a wonderful honeymoon, and she was just trying to break the Mormon brainwashing and everything. Very, very interesting. And then, of course, it's Errol Morris, so he finds a way to go over both sides of that story and then posit, you know, the third side, which is most likely tale. I love the guy's style. His style is personified by people looking directly at the camera, you know. His interview subjects are always talking at the camera, so it's like they're talking to you. And they're always very comfortable, like in a conversational manner, and it's because he has a thing. He invented this thing where they put a piece of glass in front of the camera, and his face is projected. He's in another room, but his face is projected onto the camera, onto the lens.
So it's like they're talking to Errol Morris.
Yeah, so they're seeing his face.
That's awesome.
And so they're having a conversation with him. Ergo, they're having a conversation with us.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So, Tabloid, that was a lot of
Definitely.
Fun.
Definitely.
I got that one on DVD. It's not on the incident or anything, unfortunately. And any Errol Morris documentary that you may want to check out, I say, is worth seeing. And then we watched this drama, A Late Quartet. A Late Quartet, Drew.
Yeah, that was it was an odd selection, but I thought it was a good movie.
That one was based on, like, the actors, the reason why I wanted to watch it.
So who was in the movie?
It's a movie about a string quartet featuring on cello was Christopher Walken.
Oh, I love Chris Walken.
On second violin was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep.
On viola was Catherine Keener. And then on the first violin was just some gay.
Who ended up being really good in the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's, like, one of the main characters, and he's a great actor, and definitely fit among all the other great actors in the film. And it's about this quartet, and it's their 25th season, and things are just falling apart all around them as they lead up to their first show of the season. Christopher Walken, his character is Parkinson's. He's going through Parkinson's, and so he has to retire, and people are sleeping with each other, and it's crazy. It's crazy. But it's kind of slow.
Definitely.
It takes its time. It's very, kind of laid back in the way it goes through the steps and everything. But it's very dramatic, ultimately.
And
there's a lot of crazy stuff going on.
And I was actually surprised at how much story there was for only 90 minutes.
They do pack a lot of story in there. There's a lot of betrayal, a lot of this, reconciliation.
Oh, yeah. There's all the ups and downs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was all right.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really liked Christopher Walken's little monologue in the beginning.
Yeah, he was quoting somebody. And
quoting some philosopher. Yeah, I forget what his name was.
Some of the future being now. And
always being everywhere.
Yeah.
It's really meta. I just like hearing Christopher Walken say stuff. Especially things that are way over my head.
Right. So it was right, right?
Like, oh, yeah, definitely. I would, I would recommend paying a couple bucks to see it.
All right, let's see. All right, well, we're moving on now to the Q&A segment. We got our weekly question from Billy.
Oh, Mr. Divine.
Let's see what he's asking this week. I have not pre-read this one, so here we go.
Oh, man, let's see what the doctor has for us.
So with all the rumors of Nolan and Bale doing the Justice League movie, parentheses, which I immediately call bullshit on, close parentheses, and Baseball DSO ramping up soon, let's get in the fantasy mood. JLA fan casting. Go, go, go. Who would be your dream JLA cast?
Oh, man.
Orson Welles as Darkseid. FTW, Billy D.
Orson Welles as Darkseid. That'd be so awesome.
I guess if he's doing that, then that means we can, like, talk about old people.
Oh,
we can take old actors into
consideration. Well, you see, that's the thing about Darkseid. You can have, like, the oldest man ever. You just put him in a silly... You just give him contacts and give it a day, call it a day.
Yeah, but Orson Welles is dead, so kind of tricky, dude.
That's fine.
That's what I'm saying. But we're fantasy casting. We can pull from the pool of dead people.
I love it.
All right, so Drew, you're the comic book guy. So let's run through.
All right, run through the Justice League. Yeah. All right, so we've got the Flash.
All right, so who would be a good Flash?
I'm gonna have to write this down so we don't go over these twice.
Let's see, who would be a good Flash? I would say fantasy casting the Flash. We're talking about a dude who...
Think runs fast, kind of... He's kind of egocentric, a little bit.
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt, literally, as the Flash.
As the Flash.
Black, so you're going for a black Flash.
Yeah,
Flash is white, dude.
I don't abide by rules like that for my fantasy casting.
For fantasy casting comic book movies?
So I'm going Usain Bolt.
Oh, man, that's actually a really good one. I'm going to go... Actually, I'm going to go in a kind of the same direction, but I'm going to go with Oscar Pistorius because we already know he's violent.
Oh, boy.
So...
Oh, boy.
I mean, we know he can kick some ass. He's got... We can give him super flash feet.
Oh, boy.
It'll be great.
Bleed feet. All right. Who else is in the JLA?
All right. After the Flash, I mean, obviously Superman.
Who would be my dream Superman? Would I just want to bring back Christopher Reeve? I mean, he was pretty great. Maybe on some more roids. Maybe put him through a cycle or two.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do prefer my Superman a little more muscular.
Right.
Not going to lie.
I know you prefer your Superman a little muscular. That's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yes.
Trying to think, man.
I know you do.
Who would make a good Superman?
I would say...
I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, great actors that I think would be funny as Superman.
That doesn't have to be a great actor.
But it doesn't... I mean, I've already found that some great actors can't be superheroes. I mean, George Clooney was one of the worst Batman ever.
Terrible superhero. I would say give me a young Patrick Warburton.
Yeah. Oh, see, I don't know about the voice.
You mean like a mid-20s Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton as the voice of Superman.
He voiced Superman in some Jerry Seinfeld American Express cartoons where he was walking around with Superman, and Warburton did the voice.
Really?
Yeah,
little known fact.
So, yeah, I'm going with young Warburton.
Oh, man. I'm so terrible at this. Fantasy casting.
Man. You can always go through a Superman that already was a Superman, like Dean Cain or Christopher Reeve.
Dean Cain was a...
Nicolas Cage was cast as Superman in the 90s. That never happened.
I don't think Nick Cage would be a good Superman.
There's always...
those are some tight boots to fill.
There's George Reeves from the 50s TV show, just big barrel-chested drunk. Alcoholic. There's... So many people. No idea. You're so stumped.
I'm going to go with old. We're going to go wrestler style Mickey Rourke.
Old Mickey Rourke. Oh, my goodness. They're very interesting Superman.
He's going to be old Superman.
Like
or maybe
that.
He could be... He'd be a better Bizarro, actually.
Okay, so he'd be Bizarro.
He'd be a great Bizarro.
To young Warburton.
Yes.
All right, who else is in the JLA?
We got the Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. That's definitely going to 70s Christopher Lloyd. Because he's a weirdo guy. 70s Christopher Lloyd. Like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest era Christopher Lloyd.
Ooh, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest era Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Samuel L. Jackson. Even, well, and that's only because I'm going with the Black Green Lantern. The new one.
The Black Lantern?
Yeah, because the Green Lantern is black now. There was a big controversy about it. Apparently he's gay, too.
Oh, wow.
So the Green Lantern's black and gay.
Well,
he's not Hal Jordan.
All right. That's cool.
Oh, actually, but for Hal Jordan, I'm going to go with Dennis Quaid.
That is quite interesting. Very interesting.
For
Dennis
Hal
Quaid.
Jordan. Old gray Hal Jordan. Hell yeah.
I like it. Dennis Quaid. All right. Who else is in the JLA?
Obviously, Batman.
Oh, Batman. Who would be the perfect Batman?
I mean, if you don't want to go with Christian Bale and that kind of Batman, which Batman are you? I mean... That's pretty much your option.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's the Batmans that already were Batman, but then this is a fantasy Batman. So
it can be whoever you want.
I'm going to go with fantasy Batman. What's his name? Spencer Tracy. Like early 40s Humphrey Bogart. Before, like, early 40s, mid-40s, before the alcoholism really, really ravaged his body and, like, made him lose his hair and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, yeah, old Bogart, see? You know, and you know what I'm talking about?
No, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I'm going with Bogey.
Really?
Bogey Batman.
I'm just going to stick with Christian Bale. It was a good Batman.
Okay.
No need to mess with something that's good.
All right, what else you got?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Let me see. The Linda Carter is the Wonder Woman. You know.
I already know what my pick is.
Well, what's your pick?
The chick from Haywire. I think she'd make a good Wonder Woman.
Carla Gugino?
Yeah, I think she'd make a good Wonder Woman. She can kick ass. She looks good in tight clothes.
All right. Yeah, sure. I'll back you up on that one.
All right, word.
We'll agree on that one. Is there anyone else in this group?
Oh, yeah. Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, Aquaman. Aquaman, considering who he is and his powers, the big pop, I would go with Kristen Wiig.
Okay.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig is Aquaman.
I'm going with Steven Merchant.
Okay.
I think that'd be a great Aquaman.
Steven Merchant as Aquaman. I think you officially win this round of Fantasy Casting JLA with Steven Merchant as Aquaman. You are the winner there, sir. Is that everyone?
No, we have one more.
Who else?
Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter. They're not going to include the Martian Manhunter. That's for Martian Manhunter, give me Tom Noonan, the guy who's the bad guy in Manhunter, the big tall weirdo looking guy.
Now and depending, that's just the original Justice League. That's classic. I mean, we can go even deeper into the Justice League if you'd like to.
Let's not and say we did. Actually, let's not and say we didn't, because that sounds no. They're not even gonna do Martian Manhunter. We're making the movie.
Well, you see, they might do Hawkman, though, because Hawkman was really popular in the 80s, and he's in the cartoons.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But he's in the cartoons.
Maybe if they did, what's that one? Hawkman, Hawkman, Attorney at Law. Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
Yeah,
I'll see a Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
I mean, the Green Arrow is a notable character. Firestorm was in it in the 80s, if you know anything about Justice League.
None of these characters. All right, so we fancy cast our JLA movie. I think we picked some awesome people. You know, you wouldn't go Will Smith for Green Lantern over Samuel Jackson?
Ooh, I think, you know what? Sure. I think that's a good one.
I go with Will Smith.
I think that's a better one.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up the Crespo Dome here. But, Drew.
Yes.
I'm working on a new segment.
Okay.
And it's going to be for guests.
For guests?
For the guests. Whenever we have a guest on.
Okay.
Whenever we have someone new on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do something with them. Something, you know. It's the same each week, yet kind of different for each guest, you know?
Okay.
And I'm gonna experiment it on you.
Gotcha.
Because you're here.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to do, it's going to be like
I'm just a recurring guest.
You're a recurring guest. This is the lightning round.
Oh, the lightning round.
All right, where I'm going to hit you up with 10 questions really fast.
All right, let's do this.
I'm going to give you the question. You just, first thing that comes to your mind, you answer it.
Okay. It's like word association.
Word association, sort of. We're gonna get into your mind here.
You should make people close their eyes when they do it.
Hey, well, if you want to close your eyes. Or you can go to Master and you can look me in the eyes and not blink. No, don't do that. That's freaky. No, close your eyes. Go back to closing your eyes. All right. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Lightning round. Here we go. Number one, Chuck Norris or Dolph Lundgren?
Chuck Norris.
Number two, dream vacation in 10 words or less?
Machu Picchu, bunch of friends.
Number three, want to fly? Do you want to fly or would you rather be invisible? Or would you rather fly or be invisible?
Invisible.
Number four, who is your favorite president?
Slick Willie.
Number five, if you could be any animal, which animal would you be? He didn't answer. Five, four, three.
A bird.
Two. Who is your favorite artist?
What are you talking about?
Your favorite artist?
Shepherd Fairey.
What is your least favorite type of food?
Leftover Mexican.
Do you prefer beer or liquor?
Beer.
Number nine, finish this sentence. Don't cry for me.
Argentina.
Number 10, do you have room for dessert?
Yes.
All right, there you go. That's the lightning round. I hope you, I think we found out some interesting things about you, Drew. Doing that, what do you think?
Yeah, that whole animal thing got me.
That did get you.
There are lots.
You put a lot of thought into that.
There's so many, and at the end, I just kind of crapped out. That's not my answer.
You did.
I just kind of gave you something.
But it is your answer. Any animal, you would be a bird. That's kind of a crappy answer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it's the one you put the most thought into.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I think that says a lot about you, dude. I think it does.
You pressured me, dude. You pressured me.
It is the lightning round. That's the whole idea. So there you go. That was the lightning round. I think I'm going to do that with the guests, but it's not going to be those questions.
Different questions every time.
So, all right. Well, hey, there you go. That's the end of the show. That was the Crespo Dome. That was Cinema Crespo Diso, Episode 9. Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Drew, again, at Antihero419 on the Twitter. Do you want to give out your Facebook?
No.
I am at Crespo Diso. I'm also on Twitter at Movie Examiner. So I'm thinking about changing that name, the Movie Examiner name, the Twitter name. At Chris Crespo's already taken.
Oh, there's already a Chris Crespo?
Well, there's tons of Chris Crespo's out there. So, hey, if you have an idea for a decent Twitter name, I'm open to suggestions. I'm trying to figure it out. So hit me up at Crespo Diso or at Movie Examiner, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. You can get us on iTunes. And so there you go. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And we'll talk to you guys next week in episode 10. So have a good one.